Really began to pray 4 or 5 months ago. We talked about what God was doing, and the growth had begun, and God was doing some extraordinary things. And so we began to talk about what could we do to get ourselves ready to move forward. I don't think we ever would have imagined when we were at this spot a year ago that we would be even talking about doing this quickly. But God has blessed in tremendous ways, and so we thought, what is it that we can put our arms around that would help us think through the idea of giving and of growing? And so I really prayed, and the Lord just really landed this idea in my heart of outlive your life. Outlive your life. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here in our church, and our church that will reach out into our city. I think you would agree with me, these are exciting times in the life of Petal First Baptist Church. God is moving in incredible ways. And as a result of that, we want to be certain that we don't miss the moments that God sets before us. God is seemingly giving us favor in our community, and we need to make room for those who are still yet to come. Now, you're going to hear that phrase, for those still here yet to come. It's a phrase they used back in the 90s when they were talking about making a bold and very visionary move to where we sit today. Some of you that were here, remember, under these carpets right here are scripture verses written here, and under in the children's building scriptures, we're standing literally and sitting on the Word of God because of the prayers and sacrificial giving of those who have gone on before us. It's what led this church to go to where we are now today. I meet people that tell me they've heard about Petal First Baptist. I've now been here long enough that some people know who I am, and maybe they saw the news back in February, and they saw me on the TV, and so people kind of know me, and that's good and bad because I don't always know them, and they think that I know them, but I might not know them. And so sometimes it's kind of fun because I overhear people talking about our church, and some of you have even told me stories about what people are saying about Petal First Baptist Church. But it leads me to ask these questions. What are people saying? What impact are we making? I heard people say, well, man, I saw what was going on in the Red Cross trucks out there a few months ago. And they said, yeah, that was a really cool thing. I said, no, I don't mean that. I mean, I've driven by on Sundays and in the parking lot, it seems to be full. Met somebody yesterday talking about, and they were looking for a church home, and they said, you know, when we moved in the community, we just, for whatever reason, we never visited First Baptist, and then we moved in the community, and we didn't really hear a lot about it, but now we're hearing a lot. So, of course, my interest peaks, and I want to know, well, what are you hearing? You know, what are you hearing? What are people saying? Not because I'm ultimately concerned about what people are saying, because it's not really what they're saying. It's about what God is doing. That's the most important thing. But it led me to think about this question. What do we want to be known for? What impact do we want to leave in our community? And I began to think about these thoughts, that this would be known as a place where God is at work, where God is moving in the hearts and the lives of His people, where hearts and lives are being transformed and changed by the power of a gospel, by a place that is known that cares about its community and is involved in helping reach it every day. So that people that came in like last Sunday morning, I met a couple who came last Sunday morning, and I don't know if they're here or not this morning, but they were here last Sunday, and I grabbed them as they walked out the door, and I introduced myself, and we talked for just a moment. I said, well, what, you don't mind me asking, what got you here? They said, well, there were some folks from your church who were helping repair a roof on a house that was a couple doors down from mine. And to ask that neighbor who those people were, we've been looking for a church home. We decided to come check you out. That people would know that we care about our community, that we're involved in helping to reach out to it every day. That it is a place where people can be real and transparent. That welcomes any person who comes. That it is a safe place where people can come, make a difference with their lives and meeting the needs of their community and doing so, having their needs met. Let me just say as a side note here, perhaps you're looking for a church home, and maybe others that you know are looking for a church home, and sometimes we get this backwards. We go to a church thinking, where can I get my needs met? But let me encourage you, if you're a child of God and God moves you here, the question is not where can you go to have your needs met. The question is where can you go to meet the needs of others? Can I get a witness? Hello. Thank you. Goodness gracious. Right? Isn't that, our mentality in America and this culture of Christianity is, what have you done for me lately? Instead of, what have we done for others lately? So today I want us to stop for a moment, and maybe we're almost taking a midpoint pause, and I want to kind of just help me share with you my journey for just the last 6 weeks or so, where God has had me and what God has been doing and teaching me, but also about where we are as a church family. And I know that in the first Sunday in January, we did a stay the church message, but since that time, that first Sunday in January, to where we are now, God has even blessed us even more from where we were this time in just October, November, and December. So I want us to stop for a moment and celebrate what the Lord has done and talk about some of the exciting challenges that the Lord has put before us, and then how we need to respond to God's call and commit our lives to seeing those greater things that are yet to come to happen. You should have gotten the mail this week. Hopefully you did. Did anybody get, everybody get one in the mail this week? You got one in the mail. Raise your hand. Let me see. All right. If you didn't get one, it means we don't have your address. All right. And if we'd love for you to get one, the materials are on the table on your way out the door. You can grab those there. But there was a brochure in there about this Outlive Your Life emphasis. We've been talking about it for several months, about its coming and preparing you for that. And the brochure in the mail and some facts about frequently asked questions you can read through. A commitment card we're going to ask everybody to sign and fill out on the last Sunday in April and bring it on that day. And talking about how we're going to give and grow together. So it really sets the table for where we are and where it is that God is going to take us. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6? 1 Timothy chapter 6, this is the theme verse of where we'll be for the next a month or so together, and then even on for the next 2 years. Over the next 3 Sundays, we're going to dive into the entire chapter of chapter 6, or most of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. It'll be our guide for the next 3 Sundays to talk about this idea of outliving your life and talking about our resources, our time, talents, and our treasures, and how God has called us to be a steward of those and how we can use those to outlive our lives. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation today, so it's a little bit new and a little bit different from what I normally read from, but I love how this put these particular verses that will be our guide today and in the years to come. So what I invite you, would you stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word together? And I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse number 17. If you don't have your copy of God's Word, it will be on the screen for you this morning. Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good, that they should be rich in good works and should give generously to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of real life. That's what I want us to talk about this morning, real life, taking a hold of it. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you this morning and just stop and pause about what you are doing in the life of our church family. Lord, we want to celebrate this morning. We're going to do that here in just a moment. Father, we want to talk about the exciting challenges that you are placing before us as a church family. And then, Father, then what is our call and our commitment to that call? To, Father, be the church that you are evidently calling us to be. Father, help make us ready, get our hearts ready. Father, raise up the leaders that we'll need to do the things that you're calling us to do and to, Father, deal with the wonderful growing pains that you are giving us. And we thank you for that. Father, continue to bind our hearts together in unity together, Father, so that we could be busy about the good news, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who have yet to hear and yet to come. Father, speak to us now on this idea of outlive your life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This idea of outlive your life, before we celebrate, I just wanted to think about this, and I apologize up front because I know that I've talked about this situation in my life, but it's just where I am, and so if you've learned a little bit about me in these last 10 months, I'm what I call a confessional preacher. I live where you live. I walk where you walk. I'm just like you. And so I want you to ever think that I'm somebody that you can't relate to, or that I'm better than you, or walking a different pair of shoes than you do, that I live just like you live. And so sometimes things come in our lives that really speak to our hearts a lot. And this is one thing that has spoken me a lot. And I think about it this way. To outlive your life is thinking about this idea that you do something that will, once you are gone, either from where you live now, such as moving or changing jobs, maybe to a different home, a different school, maybe even further than that, not just moving locations, but maybe permanently moving locations when our life on earth is through. The question is this: what will live on beyond your life? What legacy will you leave? What will people remember about you? What will you have left behind? If people could follow your trail after you've moved or after you've moved from this life to the next, how would they find that you lived your life? How would they find what did you invest in your life? How you made a difference in the lives of others? And what would be left over of your life that would still last, that would still count and make a difference? It's such a crucial question to ask, and it's sometimes difficult because we live in the here and now and the moments. But this series will really challenge us to think, how can we live to outlive our lives? Too often, our lives are made up of stuff by that which will not last. Too often we define our lives by what we do and not really who we are. You ask somebody to share about themselves, tell me about yourself. Usually they will tell you what they do. They will tell you their roles in life, not really about who they are. I really learned some valuable lessons from my dad's illness and then his ultimate passing from this life to the next as I began to meet so many people over the 6 months that he was sick. And then times after that he had passed from this life to the next, I met people who I'd never met before. And it really began to allow me to think through my own life. And I'm still processing and thinking through these ideas. But what comes to my heart and mind about this particular series is this. My dad, and I'm not bragging just from what people told me, was an incredible professional in what he did. My father was a CPA, a certified public accountant for over 45 years. He was valued by many for what he did, by many clients who really counted on him and depended on him, and many came through and said, I don't know what I'm going to do without him. My mom got countless numbers of letters from widows and widowers who were very panicked about what was going to happen to their accounting and their taxes and all that would happen in their lives. But as I began to think about what I found out was that my dad was more than just a CPA. That really didn't define who he was, because I heard that, but I'm going to tell you what I heard more than that. What I heard more than that was is that you know what, Brad, I don't know if you know or not, but your dad did my taxes for free. Your dad, when I came into his office, it was much more than just coming in and doing my taxes, which we all dread, and it's coming up that blessed time of year, isn't it? He said, one lady said, it was like coming in and having a family reunion, because I would tell him about what happened in my family. He would share what was happening in the lives of his children and grandchildren. He would pray with me. Our taxes make us want us to pray sometimes, don't they? No doubt. But they talked about how he did everything with integrity, with compassion. It showed me that he had invested in the lives of people. It showed me how he had spent, though much of his time at work, he spent many other parts serving his church in numerous capacities. Serving in his community, even serving on the board of the hospital for 12 years where he eventually ended up, where they ended up taking care of him. And of course, his family. It also taught me to think about the resources and how he gave those sacrificially and how he taught us, the three boys, to do the very same thing. So it makes us stop and pause and think in these moments of our lives, what will last? Now, I know that when we're younger and you're in the sixth grade or you're a teenager, you're in your 20s, and sometimes it's hard for us to think through this idea of outliving your life because we're just starting our lives. And so it's hard for us to really think and think about this issue, but what we don't realize is that everything we're doing now, even in the sixth grade, guys, even in the sixth grade, what you're doing will have a huge impact for where you are when you're 25. We don't often stop and think about it, but that is the case. And what we do at the age of 30 and 40 will have an impact about how we live when we're 60 and 70. And how we live when we're 50 and 60 will have an impact of how we live if God lets us live to when we're 80 and 90. How will we outlive our lives? I think we all want our lives to count. We want our lives to matter. We want to make a difference in this world. We want to leave a mark that will last us, because we know this to be the case, that the world moves on even when we move on. We like to think that we're irreplaceable, don't we? That life can't go on without us. But as we're always reminded, guess what? It can. Matter of fact, just turn and look at your neighbor. Would you do me a favor and just tell them this statement? You can be replaced. Go ahead and tell them. It's all right. Go ahead. This is good for them. Good humbling right now, right? You can be replaced. Now, Isn't that funny? Isn't that good to know? That's a good feeling, isn't it? Oh, praise the Lord, I came to church today. I can be replaced. Well, what does that mean by that? Well, sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, number one. We get too serious about it. Number two, we think that what we invest our lives in, that life will continue to go on. In your job, I know that you might be an invaluable employee or you're the boss. But I got news for you. That job will keep right on going. Somebody else will step into that role and it will keep moving. And soon, though we don't like to think about it, we'll be forgotten. But the question is, will our legacy be forgotten? Because there's a difference. There is a difference. To outlive your life, 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about this idea that it is no doubt about financial giving. We're going to talk about giving. But I want to encourage you to know this statement is true. That it is much more about growing than it is giving. It is much more about growing than giving. And that's not just some little cliche we're going to put before you just so you don't think we're talking about money. But we really sincerely mean that. And that is this, is that the emphasis is about growing. Your own spiritual growth will dictate how we give. We will give to that which we are passionate about and what we are called to do. For love equals obedience. Our hope is that how we grow in our daily walk with the Lord, how we grow deeper as a church family in knowing the Lord and listening to His call, and that the growth that we talk about that God sends our way and is our responsibility to teach, disciple, and train those who are here and those who are yet to be here. Now let it be clear as we celebrate Outlive Your Life that God has done some extraordinary things. And I want to be very certain that you know up front that it is not about any person or team of people. It is about what God is doing. Don't you agree with that statement? Listen, if we give humans credit, God will shut it down faster than you and I can say hallelujah. I can promise you. Sometimes I sit in my office and Mrs. D and I talk and we talk with other leaders and I'll be honest with you, I just sit back and scratch my head and go, wow. Somebody says, well, you figured out what God's doing? I said, nope. Well, we've done something spectacular, make it happen. Nope. God's just done it. God has done remarkable, extraordinary things in the lives of you and me. So we're not here to brag on anybody. We're not going to be prideful about these. Matter of fact, I would encourage you don't ever share these statistics, if you will, outside of this room. But I just want to stop and give glory to God for what He's doing. Celebrate our growth. Notice this about life groups. They're there on your outline. They'll be on the screen here this morning. And I'm just going to blow through these, okay? 5 new life groups we started since last August. 51% of increase in life group average attendance from 2012 into 2013 in our first quarter numbers. We've got 4 groups that are meeting in the office, 2 here in the sanctuary. 15%. If we grow by that amount, which seems very likely by next fall or the end of the year, we'll be averaging over 212 in life groups. We'll be way out of room. In worship, we've increased 25% from the fourth quarter to the first quarter. From October to December, we averaged 215. This quarter, we averaged 269. We've grown 25%. Now, to make that relevant for you, all right, in your job, can you imagine those of you who are in sales, if you walk into your boss and said, hey, from last quarter to this quarter, we increased 25%. You think your boss will be a little happy? Can't see you because my... Yes, I see some nodding head. Very good, right? The Lord is happy. Pleased. 25%, not just from last year. We've been comparing last year's numbers. We're talking about just last 2012 we're talking about. 46% increase in worship attendance over 2012 and 2013. Listen to this number. We have increased 71% in preschool. We've gone from averaging about 8 children to averaging close to 30 children in less than a year. Ask our preschool folks, they'll tell you, some of you serving there, you know, you've been there with 15 children at one time. God bless you. 20%, if we grow by that amount in worship at the end of the year, inside of our building, we'll be averaging 323 people in this building. By the way, Easter attendance was 170% higher than it was this time last year. Family Wednesday nights, 13% increase in average attendance. 120 plus coming on Wednesday night family supper. Our membership, 100 new members since May. 23 new members since just in this calendar year so far, 2013. 11 of those by baptism. We average anywhere from 3 to 5 brand new first-time guests almost every single week. Finances, 13% increase in giving in 2012 over 2011 giving, not including what's in 2013. 73% increase from giving from the first quarter of 2012, January to March of last year to this year of 2013. Listen to this, 1,300% increase in Lottie Moon from 2011 to 2012. 950% increase. Some of you may not be aware, we went over our goal of Annie Armstrong. $7,253 were given as of Friday. Praise the Lord. Wow. Doesn't that just blow you away? I just began to sit down and say, holy smokes, I couldn't believe it. I just hadn't even looked at the numbers and got tied up in the tornado. And I looked down, I'm like, man, we're not even growing from last year. We're growing at an exponential rate. It is really extraordinary what God is doing. And I began to think about for a long time in our church, maybe perhaps we were in this mentality of kind of survival and kind of maintaining. And so now we're kind of responding to the growth. We're reacting to the growth. But we got to move into a mindset of being proactive and being ready and prepared and expecting growth. I love some of you from this last Sunday, this Sunday from Easter. Obviously, we don't have 410 people in the building today. Obviously, you can look around and some of you say, preacher, how many do you think we'll have next week? You were excited. There was an anticipation of expectation of the parking lot's going to be full. I better get here early if I want a decent parking spot. If I want to get my prize seat, I better get here early. And by the way, those 15 years ago, we're thinking about growth. And by the way, we have room to grow. We have a building that is able to expand and grow. We'll talk about how we can do that. We'll talk about the idea of our challenges. I want you to look at these challenges. First of all, our challenge is space. Now, by the way, these are good problems to have, by the way. These aren't problems. These are challenges, by the way. These are great challenges to have. We love to have these kind of challenges. A space issue. We need space for life groups, for student ministry, for fellowship space, worship ministry, kitchen space, parking, playground, equipment for our children and preschoolers, lighting and video updates, all kinds of things. I want to show you what we have that are available. Now, the fellowship hall is over here to my left, in case you don't know. Some folks don't know. To my left, over to your right, that has now got sheetrock on it. There's a coat of paint on the wall already. We are fast making preparations to begin that. AC ductwork has begun to go in. And the fellowship hall, it kind of looks like this. And then a table storage area in the back. That space will be used for life groups. We're going to have partitions that will kind of curtain-like things that will draw across to create a sound barrier to be able to put up to 6 life groups in there to move ones out of the office and out of life group, out of the sanctuary, and so we can make rooms for new. So by the way, when we start in the fall and add new life groups, they'll come right back in the sanctuary and we'll go right back in the office again. We have just enough room to get the ones out of not classrooms, into classrooms, so we have room for more groups. All right? So that's Fellowship Hall space. That is there. It's almost all completely paid for. We got a few things we need to add to it, but we'll hopefully be able to occupy it in time for Kids Extreme, if not sooner. Fellowship Hall space is there. Secondly, a kitchen space that will allow us to do our cooking in a much easier fashion. We're doing it on a really incredible scale to try to pull off what we're doing. And so all these ladies that are preparing meals and doing things in a challenging environment, we're going to have a kitchen space that will allow us to really, really expand what we're able to do in a meal capacity. To be able to seat about 180 in there and then to do our meals and prepare them there. So we've got that space. The third space we're talking about doing kind of in this order is the choir suite. It's right behind the sanctuary here. It's designed to host music space, but also we're going to multi-purpose it with youth space. Our youth needs areas to grow. Our sixth grade coming up in the youth group is about, runs to 12 or 13. Our youth group is literally going to double overnight. They're going to run from 15 to 18 to running over 30 just like that. How you like that? That's pretty extraordinary. They're going to need space. We don't have many rooms that hold that many students and adults on top of that, so we need space. The choir suite behind us is equipped to do that, and so that's our third part we want to be able to do. Not only that, we also want our locker room areas be able to have showers here, so we're able to host out-of-town groups that come to maybe do disaster relief areas. We've got rooms already set there with showers in them we can use, but they're unfinished. They're over here to my left, to my right, off each of the bathrooms there. They're already there. The shell's there. The showers are there. We just got to complete those. Not only that, we have a humongous amount of space. What's the next one? Is it the upstairs? Go ahead, Michael, if you will, in the next space here. Yep, upstairs, above the children and preschool area, there is an entire 11,000 square feet of space ready to be occupied, but we've got to finish it. It includes space for students, for adults, for more life group space, for a student area that we would imagine and design that's really super cool and got all kind of neat areas for them, a big gathering area, life group rooms for them as well. And so all that would be on the second floor. All that is there. Parking. We've got parking we need right out the back, out this way here, behind the building. That's kind of looking, if you're sitting here, you're looking back out this way beyond the fellowship hall. We need to add 60 more parking spaces. This last Sunday, Easter Sunday, which was extraordinary, we had 189 cars parked. We have a total of just right over 100 paved parking spaces. Needless to say, we're out of parking. We need more parking. People want to drive in and see that, which some of you are helping us bridge the gap by parking in the grass, so thank you for doing that. Though eventually we're going to kill the grass by parking on it, so we like to be able to park on pavement. So that also is out there. So here's the great news. We have plenty of room to grow. The vision was cast. It was set before you. The guts, if you will, are there. We just got to complete what is there to allow us to occupy it. Not only is space a challenge, I need to run ahead here, is volunteers. We're going to need more volunteers in the days to come, more in preschool, children, student ministry. We're needing to launch new groups because we're growing in that area. We had more this last Sunday, 39 in the back, numbers of children, just kindergarten through fifth grade, than we've had in I don't know how long, I don't know the time frame, but 5, 6, 7, 8 years maybe that we've had in that particular area. We need more adults that will help in our preschool, our extended session. We're going to need more helpers, more volunteers in that area because we're adding. Again, we've gone from 8 to over 30 in birth through 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. So a lot of growth happened there. We're going to need you in volunteering. We need staff. This has kind of happened overnight. We need staff, at least 2 additional staff members to help us by the end of this year, hopefully, the Lord willing, to help with our growth. Connecting. We've got to help connect guests. We've lost count of the number of guests. Now we've got to go back and recount. When we started the year, we'd had, I don't even remember now the number. It's extraordinary, D. I don't know if you remember the number, but 100, 150 guests over the last year, not including what's coming through this year. We've got to be able to keep up with those in a even a better fashion than we're doing and helping connect them to a life group. We want to get people connected. Not only that, resources. We're going to need resources to help complete these projects and help us to pay the monthly note. Our monthly note is about $13.5 a month, and so we've got to be able to pay that. We can help pay that a little bit. We can free up money in our budget to hire the additional staff that we need. And so these are exciting challenges that are before us. Celebrate? Yes, absolutely. Rejoice? High fives? Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Challenges before us? Now the resources have to come in order for us to be able to expand, but not only resources, the staff, volunteers, connecting, and resources. The third one and the last one here is our call and commitment to grow and to give, to outlive our lives. Let me give you a couple of words to think about, and I won't be long on these, but L-I-F-E, an acronym to think about these words of how we might know, what is it that God's going to call me to do out of this month-long series? Because there's a commitment card there you got in the mail that has a section for what you're going to commit to do in growing and what you're going to commit to do in giving, because they both go hand in hand. And so asking this, well, how will I know what I need to grow in? And what do I need to plug in and volunteer and help and serve? What do I need to give? How do I know that? Well, here's the thing to think about. Number one, the L is to listen. Listen for God's voice to tell you and speak to your heart, to speak more about what he's calling you to do, more about himself, to listen to more what he's teaching you about yourself and about himself, how he wants to change and move and rearrange and transform you to make you more like him, to listen to God's voice in your life. Secondly, not only to listen, but to learn. To learn more about him, learn more about who you are, learn more about this church family, to learn how you can be involved and connected, being a part of outliving the life of this church through your growing and your giving. The third one, to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we would do that more than ever. When we do that, we're guaranteed to outlive our lives. And then the fourth L is to lead. To lead. Now you might think of yourself, I'm not a leader. You know what? Every one of us are a leader of some sort in some way. And God has equipped all of us to lead and not do what a lot of us tend to do sometimes if we're not careful. And that is this. Well, here's our mentality. Somebody else will do it. I'll never forget one day I walked into my youth minister and I looked around the room and I said, where is everybody? And she sweetly looked at me and she said, who did you bring with you? Ouch. That stung a little. I expected somebody else to do it. That's somebody else's job, not mine. We must lead by example. We must lead. The L's. We must learn. We must listen. We must love. We must lead. The I, here are the three I's. Quickly, number one, involve. Involve yourself in the life of this church family. Involve yourself in a life group. You must be connected to a small group of people. Secondly, invest. Invest your life, what? In that which will last. In other people more than anything else. Folks, if you invest in the Lord and in other people, what you do will outlast you. Investing in those who are lost or disconnected from your church and your neighborhood and your school and your ball teams, in your workplace and your family, investing in them, getting to know them, building a relationship with them so that then you can, what? The third I, invite them, invite others to come to church. Use special events as an easy invitation. Invite them to Kids Extreme, invite them to Easter Sunday, invite them to Mother's Day, invite them to events that we have that they will be more comfortable coming to, just like you did last week in extraordinary numbers. Invite others. Because we're investing and involving in the lives of other people. The F, focused. Focused on what matters the most. Listen, we as a church family must begin to continually be laser focused. There are going to be a lot of things that are going to demand our attention. And people saying, will you do this and will you do that? We've got to become laser focused on God's vision for our church, God's mission. And we're going to try to, with our vision team here, hopefully before this year is out, the Lord willing, we can get it together. We'll pull this together and really laser focus ourselves on this is what God has called us to do. And this is what we're going to do. We're not going to be distracted from that. We're going to do that which God has called us to do. We must be focused. That church family must be a priority. We must be faithful. Be faithful. Can't emphasize that enough. All caps, be here. If you volunteer to serve, be here. Being attendance is a huge thing. It means a lot when people are here. Be regular attenders of the church family. For First Super Sunday night, for Wednesday nights, for fellowships, whatever it is that's happening, be there. Notice the other F, and this is really crucial. And I cannot emphasize this enough. I don't have time to, but be fervent in prayer. Folks, listen, more than ever, we ought to be on our knees. Sometimes when things are desperate and things are difficult and times are challenging, which they've been in the past, we pray. But then things get better, we just work. And listen to me, listen carefully. This preacher is guilty of this. I get busy, work. And if I'm not careful, I don't pray. We got to pray and work. The two must go hand in hand. We must be fervent in our prayer life. And then lastly, fulfill your calling that the Lord has place on your life. And what is that calling? Here it is, to be a follower and not a fan. We talked about this last fall, if you were here, to be a follower and not a fan. The last one, the E, these last two, here they are, eternally minded. Chris Rhodes shared in the brochure he gave you and has shared in several other places, and I know he will probably here in a few weeks as we close out our emphasis, but this idea of realizing that we're called to invest in that which will last, and sometimes if we're not careful, we are investing in things that won't last. We don't think about how this will impact eternity, that our lives on this earth are so short, so small, when in comparison to all of eternity. We must be eternally minded. And lastly, we must be evangelistic, to evangelize, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And with these four questions this morning, along the same L-I-F-E, and here they are. What will your legacy be? It's not on your outline, I'm just adding these for you. What will your legacy be? What will ours be as a church? What will they say about us? Don't you love to know? Because I can go back and read. I got a 1996 church history book, I think it was when it was dated. And I can go back and read. It's a big old thick book. I wonder when they write the next book in 2096, if God hasn't come before then, what will be said about us? What will our legacy be? Secondly, what investment will you make with your time, your talents, and your treasures? What investment will you make? Thirdly, the F, what will your focus be? Will you be focused on being a fan or being a follower of Jesus Christ? And lastly, we ask this in our What on Earth Am I Here For? Who will be in heaven eternally because of you? Great questions to think about how we will outlive our lives. I pray in these next three Sundays we spend together today, and then four Sundays, I guess, including today, that God will really begin to burden and put on our hearts how we will outlive our lives, both in growing and in our giving. And we'll gather together on the first Sunday in May and celebrate that by bringing those gifts and celebrating the total amount that has been committed to give, and we begin to move forward an exciting fashion to make room for those who are yet to come. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you that we got to celebrate. Lord, I almost wanted to have a pep rally and just get up in here and do a herky and a high five and get a bunch of cheerleaders in here, Lord, just to rejoice in all that you have done and you are doing right now. And it's a good thing to rejoice and celebrate. We celebrate about so much that doesn't really matter. National championships and all kinds of things that really don't matter. But Father, we want to celebrate today what you are doing in the life of our church. And we want to thank you and stop and pause and say to God be the glory, great things you have done. Lord, you have done true to your word. You have done more than we could even imagine. Father, we believe there are greater things yet to come. We want to be ready for that. We don't want it to catch us off guard. We want to be prepared and ready and have the space and the ability to do that which you are calling us to do. So, Father, I pray this morning that you will begin to stir our hearts to think about this idea of outliving our lives. And Father, for some this morning, the very first decision they need to make to outlive their life is to give their heart and life to you, to say yes to Jesus Christ, to admit they're a sinner, to ask you to forgive them of all of their sins, to believe that you are the Son of God, that you came and died on a cruel, rugged cross, and that you rose again, as we celebrated last Sunday, that you love them and have a plan for their life, that they would confess you as Savior, that only you can save them and commit their life to you as Lord. Father, if that be their desire this morning, they would come and grab Charlie and me by the hand and say, that's me. Maybe they made that decision during the week and they're ready to make that public. Or they would just come and say, yes, that's me. I'm ready. I'm ready to be a follower, not a fan. Father, for others, they need to come and join this church family. They've been visiting. And Father, you've made it abundantly clear this is where you're calling them to plant their lives for this season of their life. So, Father, I pray they'd step over that line. And, Father, answer really that question. Lord, what needs do I need to meet here in this place? How can I be a part of outliving my life right here at Petal First Baptist? Others want to come to this altar, have a need on their heart, a burden, that something is weighing them down. And Father, I pray that this will be a place where we can care for one another. Whether it's at this altar or to go across the room and pray for someone, Father, I pray that you would give us the boldness and the courage to do that which you're calling us to do. Be obedient to hear the Savior's call. And we can come just as we are. In Jesus' name, amen.